So good evening again, and it's such a privilege to share the word with you tonight. And the theme for tonight is God is cooking up something. God is cooking up something. So this week, something happened in my life, and I'm going to just share later on. There was one incident that confirmed the word for tonight. So it's a youth service. But I believe that what God is, you know, what wants to share with us is also for people who might have lost their way and they want to get back to what God called them to. So God is cooking up something. Everything that God does is always a setup if it's still supposed to happen in future. Can I say that again? Everything that God does is always a setup for the future. So I want to read, or I'm going to invite you to read with me Daniel 1, verse 1 to 3. And it's a very familiar piece of scripture, portion of scripture. So Daniel 1, verse 1 to 3, and a few things just hit me when I read this. So in the third year of the reign of, I don't know the king's name, that's too big a name for me, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And this is interesting. And the Lord delivered the king of Judah into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. This is now the king of Babylon. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered the chief of his court officials to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility. Young men, verse 4, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. And then verse 9, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. It's very interesting when you read this scripture, this part of scripture, the king goes and take over Judah. So the people of Judah has now moved to Babylonia. And he also took two things. He took some of the articles from the temple of God, and he took some young men. But the young men that he took, they were royalty. Right? So these people, the young men that they took, they were the best of the best. Now the king who took the people did the following. He established criteria for selection. So he just didn't go in and then said, you and you and you and you, you come. He said, I have selection criteria. If you do not, you know, if you don't have these, you do not qualify to be selected to be taken to my kingdom. And these are the qualifications, the criteria for selection. There must be no physical defect. They must be handsome. Don't know how they established that, but no physical defect. They must be handsome. Thirdly, they must have an aptitude for learning or to learn. In other words, they must be sharp. These guys must be, and I want to use the word that we use currently, they must be intelligent. They also need to be well-informed. So it's not just as if you started school, you know stuff. They must be quick to understand. Listen to the criteria that the king is using here. Right? And he says they must be qualified to serve in the king's palace. So whoever we choose, if they have these criteria, before we take them away, they need to understand that for the rest of their lives, they're going to be in my palace. They're going to serve me. So the criteria fits the person qualified to serve in the king's palace. So the king, you know, these selection criteria is all based on the scene. So the king uses his senses. The king says, you have to look out for them, right? Even if they are sharp, even if they are intelligent, if there is any defect, physical defect, they do not qualify. If they can't see well out of the right eye, they do not qualify. So they need to meet all the criteria, then they can come. So he chose with his senses. And you know what? I can almost see the guy who made the selection say, you know, when I listen to this one, it sounds like a good one. When I see this one, you know, it looks like a good one. I've got a good feeling about this one. This is the one, choose him. So the king goes about, he chose people for his kingdom based on what he sees and what he needs. And then I want to read the next portion on the board, on the screen. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So the king is finished with his selection and he chose these guys. But you see what happens in the first chapter? To these four young men. So all of them are there. They are from different nations. They are there in front of the king. They've been selected. And God says to these four young men, he gave them the following. He gave them knowledge. He gave them understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. It becomes important when we see what the king does. God now says, within all of these people that were selected, I put four people, four young people, and they are super above the others. And Daniel, and this sentence here, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So the three of them are sharp. They are super sharp. But Daniel, the sentence is added, could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Nowhere is it mentioned that God looked at the exterior. God just does this. I want to share with you quickly, there is a worldly view and then you have the godly plan. There's a worldly view and you have a godly plan. And I just want to show, I just want to put the two against each other. You see, the king wanted to set up their nation's future by investing in people. The king goes, he goes, selects the best from another nation, takes them captive, brings them to his own country, to his own kingdom, and he says, these guys are my future. The people that I've selected, I'm going to put everything in them, and we are going to have a great program over a period of 3 years. And after 3 years, they will be released to serve me. That is exactly how the world does things, isn't it? What we do is, when you finish matric, you know, when you're ready to go into the world, what do? We are sent to a place that we call a university or a college where you set apart for 3 years. And believe me or not, you have to qualify to get in. So the university becomes another kingdom. There we walk in. We you know, our parents are excited because my child, matric exemption, they in. Woo, yes. And they leave, they enter a system where they are now prepared to do what? To serve the kingdom that we know as the world. So the king does what everyone else does. He sets up a system and he says, wow, I'm excited because we've got a great youth program. We've got a great new prospects there. Did you see that one? Did you see that? They had a great program. But this is God. The king went there to prepare for his future. But God works this way. God already knows the future. God already knows the future. And then he takes what the future needs before time and put it there. Let me say that again. God already knows the future. So if he knows the future, he already put what the future needs in the now. So God says, listen here. This king is foolish. I have allowed him to take control of my four young men. Because what the four young men have is already what the king needs for the future. He doesn't know it yet. So this is crucial. Because when God does things, he provides the solution before the time for the solution is needed. Before the time comes. And that is what's important. Because now that sentence make sense to me, the earlier one. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So in the future, the king will have a dream. Okay, I'm going ahead of it. In the future, the king will have a dream that no one in his kingdom will be able to lay out. So what God did when the king came and he selected people, God said, you select Daniel. You don't know yet. You look at his physical body and stuff. You look at that. No, I'm not interested in that. I've already given Daniel the ability to solve a problem that you're not even aware of you're going to have. That is crazy. Because what God does, because of the future, He places the solution in a person. Now, I want to make a statement. Everyone who's here tonight is a solution to a future problem. That is the truth. Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So God knows the future already. Can I just share with you something? The king, I want to put the two together or against each other. The king says, this is my strategy. The king says the following. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. So once he brought them to Babylonia, he tells his teachers, he said, guys, for 3 years you have to do two things. You need to change their language and you need to influence their literature. Why is language so important? Can we talk for a moment? Because if you don't understand the language, you can't communicate. Language is about communication. It's about getting a message across. So the Babylonians, once they captured these guys, they brought them to Babylonia and they wanted them to know their language. But it's about more than that. The moment when you start talking the language of the Babylonians, the moment when you change your language, you lose your voice. Because language is also about voice. It's also about what God told you and for you to say. So when the Israelites, the guys from Judah, came into Babylonia, the first thing they wanted to do was to not just change their language, but to take away their voice. And the young people, these guys sit there every day and they taught. And the king was after their voice and they said, we will learn your language, but we will never let our language go. The most important thing in God's plan is when we have a voice, the prophecy of God can speak in God's situation. Because in our voice lies the prophecy that God laid on our hearts. So whenever people are taken captive and they lose their voice, they lose their prophetic voice, they become harmless to the enemy. Just to show you how important language is. I don't know if you guys know, but gangsters do the following. First thing, when you become part of a gang, you go through initiation, and then they have a specific language. 26s and 27s and 28s, they talk a specific language. If you are with a gang and you don't understand the language, you won't get anything from it. So language is important because language also talks about identity. So the language that I talk is also about my identity. So on the Cape Flats, and I don't know if you guys know this, but when they say we're going to Dala, that means we're going to do this. And nothing will stop us. So when Daniel and the three other guys, when they were confronted with this language issue, they said, in my language, we are going to Dala. We are not going to learn your language. We might learn it, but we're still going to have our prophetic voice. Why language and literature? Because language gives you access to culture. And literature is the basis of culture. If you lose your language, you give access to you losing your customs, losing your ways. I'm just setting the platform. You lose your voice, you will start doing what other people are doing. You'll start listening to other voices because you have lost your voice. This is a youth service. I wanna say this. And I'm going to be very direct. Your difference is your destiny. Your difference is your destiny. To want to be the same as other people is an insult to who God created you to be. If you want to be like somebody else, then you're insulting God, because then you lost your voice, you lost your literature, you lost what God has given you. Your difference is your destiny. Your difference is your destiny. You are different. You are different. I am different. I don't want to be like anybody else. I don't want to speak like somebody else. I don't want to sound like somebody else. I learned this very early in my walk with God, but I only realized it this week. I was teaching in a small place called Willamore, on that side, and you know, as a teacher, I came to God, you know, in my first year there, and I wasn't excited about anything, but then God just started working in my heart and in my spirit. So what we did was, we ran a program on a Thursday evening, and 120 young people came to that program, and we started like crazy people. We started praying. Whenever they saw us, we prayed. We prayed in the evening, we prayed in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, we were up for an hour, and we prayed over the town. The school was just above the town, and you know, you can see the whole town. If you stand in front of the garage at the hostel. And we prayed, and we prayed. And we had our first prayer walk there, and we walked with candles and flags, and we walked the whole town, and we prayed, and everyone thought we were crazy. But we were so excited. And 120 young people, they pitch every single Thursday evening. And I trusted God because my mother was sick in Oudtshoorn. And I wanted to leave Willamore and I wanted to go to Oudtshoorn because God told me I would go. So I was trusting Him every single morning, 5:15. I got out. We stayed in a little house. I got out of the house, got into my car, and I sat in the passenger seat. Because I said, God, your seat is on the driver's side. I'm sitting on the passenger side. And I'm trusting you. And I cried before God. I said, my mother is so sick. I want to go home. And He said nothing. And then there was just this idea. And I told everybody for a year and a half already, I'm going to Oudtshoorn. Told everybody. Nothing happened. People were looking at me funny. You're still going? I don't see anything happening. But let me tell you, God said one day, one morning, He said, you have to do this. And I took about 20, 25 people. I took them on a camp. And we had a camp. And that weekend, God showed up. Sunday morning, I got up. As someone just shook me awake. I got up. I walked up. There was this little copy behind the place where we stayed. I got to the top of the copy, and God said, today, just do this one thing. Like clear as day. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do this. And brothers and sisters, I did that morning, what God instructed me to do. Monday morning when I got back to school, first break, the principal called me and he said, Mr. Philander, we received your approval for your transfer. I said, praise God. What I didn't know was, my transfer was initially rejected. And God did another miracle that I didn't even know about. But that's not the story. We were loud and we were proudly Christian. This week, a young man called Burton Ishmael walked into our office here. He came to see me. I've seen him 26 years ago. When I saw him, I recognized his face. I couldn't remember his name. And you know what he said? He came here, we sat at the back, and he said, you know, sir, do you know this person and that person and that person and that person and that person? I said, yes. You know, they were all on the camp that God instructed me to take them on. And you know what was the testimony? The testimony was that every single person that was on that tent is now on that camp is now somewhere serving God with their families, and they're raising the banner of Jesus. It's got nothing to do with me. The thing is, God has given us a voice. And the moment when we lose this voice, and this is the danger, and I'm talking to young people, this is the danger. When you want to try to fit in, that is not what you're supposed to do. Sameness versus originality. Sameness versus being original. Learn our language, said the king, so that you can communicate, and take our literature so that you can understand our system. I want to encourage you tonight to celebrate your difference. If your voice sounds different than somebody else's, please keep your voice. If you sound out of place, please keep your voice, because God has put that in you for a future purpose. Do not stop keeping. The thing is, guys, we're getting weighed down by expectations. We're getting weighed down by what other people expect from us. We're getting weighed down by all this pressure. And for young people, this is serious. Because when you go from primary school to secondary school, the first week you check out how they do stuff. And then you start talking the language. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as you do not lose your voice. As long as you do not lose the original that you were created to be. Can I say the next thing? So your difference is your destiny. If you lose your difference, you might lose your destiny. The second thing is, destiny is not just a place, it's a process. Let me just say that again. Destiny is not just a place, it's a process. Whenever we talk about destiny, we talk about a destination. And in the kingdom, we've accepted that my destiny is the place where I'll end up. Destiny is a process. And in that process, you have to stand up for your God. So it's not just about keeping your voice. It's about getting your voice heard. There's no use standing up and you don't say anything. You need to stand up, and you know you have to stand up for God. Now, I've listed a few things there. The thing is, you need to go against popular culture. Popular culture is, I want to fit in. I want to do this. While I was a lecturer at West Coast College, the students always said, you know what, sir? You're not on Facebook. I said, yes, I am. Sometimes I am. But I do not have anything specific that I want to put on Facebook. So they said, why don't you just take a picture of your food? Then you have something to say. And my argument was the following. Is my voice about food? Or is it about what God is doing in your life? You need to go against popular culture. You need to stand up, because the most of your friends will go with everybody else. I can assure you that. If the conversation becomes uncomfortable, Christians keep quiet. Thing is, God will give you favor. Daniel 1:9. God has given Daniel favor with the official. Now, can I say something here? Daniel was bold enough in chapter 1 to say, I am not going to eat the food that you're giving us. What would have happened if Daniel kept quiet and ate the food? Think about this. He would have lost everything that God has set him up for. Where did he start? He stood up by saying, I'm not going to eat your food. And then when the official said, I'm going to be in trouble, Daniel said, I've got a solution for you, bro. Don't worry. Give us 10 days. Give us fruit and water. We'll be sorted. After 10 days, you check. And when the official checked, but I've got a warning here as well. The moment when you stand up against popular culture, your stands will be tested. In public, and in private. It's first private and then public. You cannot say, I stand up for God, and not expect to be tested on what you say. When you stand up, you're proclaiming God's kingdom reign in my life versus the world that I'm in. And for these guys, they came in the form of a fiery furnace for the three of his friends and the lion's den for Daniel. So whenever we raise our voice, whenever we say, you know, I'm going to engage in the process of destiny, this is what's going to happen. Can I go a little bit deeper? And this slide in life, I want to read it. In a place of dreamers, interpreters reign. In a place of dreamers, interpreters reign. Where people dream, if there is no interpretation, it doesn't mean anything. I'm going to say that again. When people dream in a place of dreamers, the people who reign are the people who can unlock the dreams. In a place of dreamers, your planners cannot do anything. In a place of dreamers, your strategic guys, the people who think far, they can't do anything. You need an interpreter. And this king was a dreamer. I'm going to slow down a little bit. This king was a dreamer. So the king gets dreams, right? So he gets this massive dream. He gets all his people to come. The wise men, and they come and they interpret. And he says, no, guys, you need to tell me the dream first. Then you interpret. It's double moeilijk. You can't just come here and tell me. The guy said, King, tell us the dream, and we'll interpret. The king says, no, you tell me what I dreamt, and then you interpret my dream. This is getting dangerous, because the king then decided, go read Daniel. The king then decided, because they could not tell him his dream, they could not interpret his dream, he's going to kill them all. Every single one of them. Daniel heard of this. Now remember, Daniel was put there by God. Right? Remember what I said? God knows the future. And then he creates a solution here. So now it was time for Daniel to... And Daniel, listen to this, guys. Daniel, let the king know, I'm coming. So there's no solution. And Daniel gets to the king. And Daniel, first of all, he talks to God, gets to the king. The king says, okay, Daniel, if you don't get this right, everyone dies. All the wise people and you. I like you, but you're going to die. Then Daniel told the king his dream. He interprets. So what he did was, he brought the key to unlock the problem of the king in the king's kingdom. Daniel is not, he's not just bringing the key, he is the key. So Daniel comes with all boldness, fired by the power of God, he comes to the king, he unlocks, and he tells the king this thing. And this is one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a young man, young person, I don't care who you are, within you is a key that will unlock something in the future. Gifts are given by God for his glory, tailor-made for certain situations. And everyone has got a key. You need to step out in authority with full faith that God will come to you despite the situation. This sounds like a cool story, but it's worse. So Daniel steps out in faith. Goes to the king. King says, wow, Daniel, you're a brilliant man. You're the man. And Daniel is now, listen to this, Daniel is now appointed as the head over all the wise people in the country. And Daniel does this thing. Oh, as he's so cool. Daniel does this. Daniel says to the king, he says, because I solved your problem, because I solved your biggest problem, I want my three friends to be appointed in high position. Now read the book. The king says, that's cool. You know what the king did? The king took Daniel, friends, the three, and he put them as governors in Babylon. So now, the government of the king, the government, the main guys in the country are Daniel's friends. And he is above them all. What did Daniel do? He took a stand. Right? He did what God told him to do. And now he's over all the wise people. And then, and I told you it's going to get worse. This king, who knew that Daniel was the solution. Daniel, okay, when Daniel told him the dream, interpreted, the king said, your God is as great as my God. Listen, your God is as good as my God. And Daniel said, no, that's not true. But God is a great God. He's cooking up something. So you know what God did? This king, and I can't understand, but he's so full of himself, he goes and makes a statue of what, you know, gold statue, because the gold, Daniel said, was the king. So he makes a statue, and he wants everyone in the country to worship the statue. And guess what? The three guys that Daniel pulled up with him, they came directly into the firing line. You cannot serve God like this and not be confronted with the enemy that's gunning for you. I know this is, might not be the message that you want to hear, but this is it. So the three guys, you know what happened? There were people who said, you know what? Daniel, who is in charge, his friends, they do not bow down to this statue. And they went specifically, they got the three, and they threw them in a fiery furnace. Listen to this. These guys also had to take a stand. Daniel was not with them. They were on their own. So their voices needed to be heard. Their voices needed to be heard. And they had to take a position. They had to stand. And when the king saw this, listen to this. The king said, your God, the main God. There is no one like your God. Daniel came and Daniel interpreted. Daniel was the key. And I saw that your God was good, but I didn't know he was this good. Because we threw you in the fire. Our guys got burned. You came out. There was not even a smell of smoke. So they also needed to step up. In a place of dreamers, interpreters reign. And then, and again, not the end of the story, Daniel was then confronted with this thing, because the king dies, somebody else comes. And Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, and he survived. And the next king, the next guy, something happened to him that was weird, that was really terrible. But I want to conclude tonight by telling you this, and this is what I call the big reveal. You know, when you watch a movie towards the end, if it's a suspense movie towards the end, you get to, oh, now I see what happened here. This is the big reveal. God is always cooking up something. Can I go back to this, to the start? You know why Daniel and the three others were selected by the king to come to his kingdom? Not to interpret his dreams. No, that was part of it. Not to be thrown in the fiery furnace. That was part of it. Not for them to become big shots in the foreign country. You know why they came? Because previous slide. Daniel 4 verse 34 and verse 35. And I want to read this for you. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Before I read this, the king, Daniel told him this. You're going to lose your sanity. You're going to be like a crazy man and your nation, your people are going to see you until you acknowledge that I'm God. This is now Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. So he was crazy, he's now fine. But check the next part. Then, this is now the king, then I praised the Most High and honored and glorified him who lives forever. He's now talking about God. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. The king that depended on sight to choose people, and who was foolish enough to run his kingdom like that, is now at a place where he says, I now know that God is God. Why was Daniel and the three other guys taken to Babylonia? Get the king to understand that God is God and there is no one else. God is picking up something. Four young men in captivity against a nation. Four young men against a nation. And I want to just say this as an encouragement. I don't know who I'm talking to, but when you take your stand and you feel as you're all alone, and you will be many times, you and God is always more than everyone that is against you. When you take a stand for God and you say, this is my voice, this is what God has given me, this is what I'm saying, God says this, even in a place where no one wants to listen to you, you, when you stand up, you and God are more than all the voices against you. And it might take some time, but it's going to work. Four young men gifted by God, equipped for the moment, tested to the limit, publicly. They dared to defy a king and his laws and caused the same king to serve our God. This was a setup. Why am I closing? Why am I talking to you about this thing? Because I've got news for you. Every situation that is coming in your life is a setup for God's glory to be revealed through your life. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Every single situation that's coming in next year, 2020 and 2021 and 23, the only reason why that situation is there is to bring glory of God through your life to our people. And the moment when we keep our voice, the moment when we stay true to what God has called us to do, that moment God is going to honor you and he will elevate you for his glory. And even if it doesn't, happen, like I saw this week, 26 years later, he didn't even have an idea. God asks you to do one thing, and with that, you change your nation. So if you're here tonight and you lost your voice, you got to a place where you feel like, you know what, I sound the same like everybody else. I'm not even sure what I was called for. God is telling you, you have been hand-selected, not because of what people see in you. Now, just before I continue, in our church, people have been selected as head boy, prefect, and everything else. You know why? Because the principal looked at you and used their criteria, list of criteria. But God said, I have placed something in you that the principal will never be able to see. And when you assume that position, when you walk up and you say yes, and they give you that blazer, they give you that little plaque that goes on your blazer, the moment when you do that, please do not forget that God has given you this position because you have a prophetic voice. You have a voice for that situation. There is something coming, something that's going to happen in that school, something that's going to happen in that university, something that's going to happen in that residence that you are the only one with the key to unlock them. But you cannot unlock the door unless you stand and you say, in Christ, I'm willing to stand. So tonight, we just close our eyes for a moment. I wanna start by saying now, earlier in worship, just at the back, I just felt God tell me that, you know, it's time for everyone to sing their own song. God has put a melody in your heart that sounds different than any other melody that's in this earth. God has created, put a song in you, has put gifts in you, has put talents in you. That is a mix that no one else on this earth has. Because those gifts and those talents, they were put together, that melody in your heart, in your soul, were put together for a specific solution for the future. And you are that key. So even before you can start being the key, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, if you've never before accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't remember when you did it, you don't know the date, you just have an idea that it might be so, you need to make sure. Because the moment when we accept Christ into our life as Lord and Savior, we step up and then we can take a stand for Him. So if you've never accepted Christ in your Lord, in your life as your Lord and Savior, that's what you need to do. So if you want to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can just raise your hand quickly and then let it down again. If you've never made that decision before. But I want to make another invitation tonight as well. If you are a child of God and you feel like, you know, Lord, I don't know what's happening in my life. Everything is going crazy at the moment. I don't have direction. I struggle. I don't even know what the key is that you've given me. I want you to come and join me here in front and say, Father God, I'm willing to step up. I'm tuning into the voice that you've given me, that prophetic voice, that special voice. And I want to step up to my destiny tonight. I don't know yet what it is, but I want to step up with my destiny, into my destiny. Now, if you're a young man and your parents are here with you, young woman, and you feel, you know what, tonight I want to step out for God, I would like your parents to come. If you do the step, if you come forward, if your parents are here, I want your parents to come stand behind you tonight. Tonight, we're just giving our lives back to God. We're just taking a step of faith. Like Daniel said, I don't want your food. Give me vegetables and water and fruit and I'll be okay. Like Daniel said, I'm going to take a step. We're not going to bow down before foreign gods. We're going to do this for Christ. And it doesn't matter how difficult it is, I'm still willing.